Since you can't look in the bulletin to find the title of the sermon, it's simply titled, A Mother's Love. So let us share a normal beginning during these abnormal times, in which you had to wait for me to enter worship. Sorry about that, folks. Normally, I'm about as late, no later than 11:03 getting in here. But to go to 11:50, well, that's a little bit stretched for me. But here's the normal beginning to our sermon. It is a joke. A woman called one of her friends, and she said, "How are you doing?" The friend responded, "Terrible! My head's splitting! My back and legs are killing me! The house is a mess! The kids are driving me crazy!" The caller, very sympathetically, said, "Well, why don't you go and lie down? I'll come right over. I'll cook dinner for you. I'll clean the house. I'll take care of the children while you get a rest. By the way, how's your husband, Sam?" The person on the other end of the line said, "Sam? I don't have a husband named Sam. His name's George." The caller said, "Oh my heavens, I must have dialed the wrong number." To which the harried mother answered, "Well, are you still coming over?" Well, this is one of the best gifts you can give to your mother on this Mother's Day. Dinner made, house clean, child care. Well, happy Mother's Day for all of you. To all of you mothers out there, part of the reason why we tried so hard to get this on Facebook is because it is Mother's Day. We could have easily said, you know what, it's any other sermon, I'll post it later today. No, we needed to take a moment and thank God for our mothers. Whether our mothers are here or mothers in heaven, whether our physical mothers, our spiritual mothers, or those mothers who took special care to choose us out of the lot or out of the grouping, adopted mothers, we had to come on to say thank you to mothers. I looked up a survey. What's the best gift a mother could get? The survey is from a few years ago. It's done by Sears Roebuck. That gives you an idea how long ago it was. They discovered that mothers had 5 top wishes. 5 presents they wanted for Mother's Day. Okay, now write these down quickly. If your mother's in the room, kind of side over so she can't see what you're doing. 5 top gifts. Number 1, flowers. Well, many flower stores are not open. Run to the yard. Number 2, jewelry. That's what mothers wanted. Number 3, clothing. Well, stores are closed. Why don't you pull one out of the cabinet or out of the closet and give it to her? Number 3, a card. You can do that. And number 5 was dinner. Now, there's number 6 on the list. I didn't include it, but it's appropriate as well, and that is mothers ask for money. Actually, on this Mother's Day, the gift we're going to share together is a mother's love. We're going to look at a Bible mother's viewpoint and how she didn't settle for flowers. What she wanted was the restoration of her son. We're looking at Mary, the mother of Jesus. She was frantic. Her little boy was lost. Actually, he wasn't quite a little boy. He was 12 years old. They didn't know where he was. The story goes like this. As was their custom, critical piece realized they were a people of faith. They performed and shared in the rituals of their faith. And on Passover, they were in Jerusalem, sharing with the other pilgrims to acknowledge God passing over the nation of Israel and freeing them from slavery in Egypt. So Joseph took his wife Mary, took their son Jesus, and the other children, and off they went to Jerusalem, as was their custom. While they were there, they performed the rituals, they enjoyed the Passover meal and celebration, and then they turned and they left to go back to Nazareth. They went down from the mount where Jerusalem was built on, Mount Zion, and off they went back home. They went home, because that was their custom as well. They got about a day's travel away when they realized not all the family was there. They were missing someone. Jesus, their boy, was gone. They checked with all the relatives. They checked with all the friends, because they would have been traveling in a caravan. That's normal. Keeps the robbers away. The problem was, Jesus was not among any of them. So they turned around and headed back to Jerusalem. Now this story, as a parent, as a person who watches over children, or a person who takes children on trips, placed chills in our hearts because a child is missing. As Mary and Joseph were heading back to Jerusalem, trying to find where Jesus was, imagine their thoughts in their head. Frantically, all those questions ran through their head. Where was he? What was he doing? Was he laying on the side of the road? Was he accosted by robbers? Was he scared? Was he hungry? And when they got to Jerusalem, after searching, they found Jesus in the temple. None of their fears were realized. He was talking to the teachers of the law. Now, Mary and Joseph, I love the way the Bible kind of downplays the parents' interrogation. First thing is you give them a hug and you say, I'm so glad to see you. And then out come the questions. Where were you? Why did you leave? Why didn't you stay with us? Etc., etc. We only have one in the scripture that Mary said. And Mary said, basically, why did you not come with us? But we've had moments in which frantically looking for someone and you're like, what do you have to say for yourself? Did you know I'd be worried? And Jesus' response elevates our discussion. He said, didn't you know I'd be in my Father's house? The truth hurt. Mary and Joseph's boy was not just theirs. This boy was meant to be shared for all. He wasn't a child born to take over the carpenter shop. He was a child born to repair the world. He was a savior. I'm always thought, is this what Mary treasured in her heart? At the end of that passage, it says Mary treasured, pondered these things in her heart. Was this what she was pondering? What did a savior mean? What would it look like? Would he still be ours? I always thought Mary would have known that Jesus was more. You know, she's the one who had the angels come to her. The angel Gabriel speak to her. She's the one that gave birth without having known a man. She's the one that saw the shepherds come and the wise men come. Joseph saw it, yes, but Joseph didn't have that in-depth experience like Mary. And I've always thought, what was Mary's thoughts concerning what Jesus would grow up to be like when he had the title Savior? Most of us, with our children, we have hopes and dreams. That's true. They'll grow up to be a lawyer or an auto mechanic. They'll grow up to be a physician or a ball player. You know, they'll grow up to be, and we all have those hopes and dreams. But with Mary, a different set of experiences than any of us could have ever understood. There's a story I found. It was written by Dallas Holm. It talks about how did Mary understand this. He titled it Mary's Song. I'd like to read it to you. And this was spoken, or Dallas Holmes assumed it was spoken, at the foot of the cross. And here's how the story reads. The song reads, is this the boy I raised? Is this the son I knew? Is this the one I've loved? Why can't they love him too? What has my son ever done to you? Has he caused you some pain? As I recall, always shown his love. Why can't you show him the same? Is this the boy I raised? Is this the son I knew? Is this the one I've loved? Why can't they love him too? Oh, what can I do, my son? Why can't they see what I know? Is this the way it must be? Is this the way you must go? I'd gladly die in your place if I could save you some pain. But I can see in your face my death would not be the same. You are the boy I raised. You are the son I knew. You're the one I love. Why can't they love you too? Mary had dreams, like all you mothers out there. You mothers, your spiritual mothers, physical mothers, adopted mothers, you all have dreams. Dreams of your children that you treasure in your heart. You've watched for them and watched out for them, emotionally and physically. You sought to keep them safe, to keep them emotionally together, physically, spiritually, and emotionally together as a family. You sought to keep them spiritually whole. In the Christian church, we can elevate this discussion. It's not just about the good job that they'll receive. It's not just about them growing up to be an adult. In the Christian church, we all dream dreams for our children. We don't just ask mothers to do this. We're truly blessed that in the Christian church, we ask all of you to take this seriously. Mothers and fathers, teens and youngers, grandparents, we all ask us to take this commitment seriously. At the time we have a baptism, our baptismal is over there, the time of a baptism, we ask everyone in the assembled community of faith to take responsibility for the raising of children. It's a critical point here at St. Andrew. It means that we, all of us, are spiritual mothers and spiritual fathers. Our responsibility is to take care of our children here, to make certain that they are raised up not only to be responsible adults, but to know Jesus Christ. And when we see something, we rush in and love them, take care of them. It doesn't matter whether they smell nice, look nice, act nice. Our responsibility is look beyond how they wear, what they wear, and how they act, and look into their soul. To be a mother, to take care of them. We dream dreams for our children here at church. We dream that they will know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. That's what our program's built on. We are lights in this world. We're blessed that our director of Christian Ed is sending out messages to be able to say to our young people, we are concerned about you. Our director of youth and young adults also sending out ideas that we take care of you. We love you, children, so that you can understand what it means to be a responsible spiritual adult in this world today, so that they can know and live the fruits of the Spirit of love and joy and peace and patience, goodness, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. Now we rely on this day, we celebrate on this day, mothers who have taken a responsibility to hug those young people, hug them emotionally and spiritually, to be able to demonstrate we care for you. We thank you for the cards that you send, for the phone calls that you make, for the smiles you share, not just for your own children, for all of our children here. We praise you, we thank you that you give us warm feelings here at St. Andrew. Now, during this week, of which we're socially distant, we can still do that. Realize we printed a phone directory. You can send words of encouragement to those you know are having a difficult time. You can be like the person in the opening story. You can help step in and build a person up when we're living in a world unlike any we've ever had. We can still mother in the midst of this pandemic. So as I get ready to close, thank you, mothers. Thank you that you have touched so many lives. And when I say mothers, realize it is those physical mothers, it is those spiritual mothers, and the adopted mothers. Each of those have made a difference in the lives of men. As I close, I'd like to share a tribute to mothers. It was written by Daniel Weatherford, and this is for all of you out there. Your gentle guidance has immeasurably influenced all that I've done, all that I do, and all that I will ever do. Your sweet spirit is indelibly imprinted in all that I have been, all that I am, and all that I will ever be. Thus you are part of all that I accomplish and all that I become. And so it is that when I help my neighbor, your helping hand is there also. When I ease the pain of a friend, the friend owes you a debt. When I show a child a better way, either by word or by example, you are the teacher once removed. Because everything I do reflects values learned from you. Any wrong that I right, any heart that I may brighten, any gift that I share, or burden I may lighten, is in its own small way a tribute to you, Mother. Because you gave me life, and you showed me the way to live, more importantly, lessons in how to live, you are the wellspring from which flows all good I may achieve in my time on earth. For all that you are, and all that I am, thank you, Mom. Let's take a moment to thank God. Thank God for mothers. Let's go to God in prayer. Thank you, wonderful God, that you knew that we needed support. And we thank you for those who have mothered us. Those who have made certain we are safe. Those who have made certain that we're spiritual. Those who have made certain we grow up. Thank you, Lord God. And whether that's mother is the one I'm physically born to, we thank you for that. Or a mother who chose to raise me, thank you for those adopted mothers. Or a mother who spiritually shared their concern over me, thank you for them as well. Thank you, Lord God, for the way in which you've touched our world through our mothers. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.